Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA, and I'm going to be talking about direct mail today and some other things. A fun commercial that's getting rated by System One. We'll talk about that.
Hovis, at the heart of every home. At the heart of every family. At the heart of every day and night. From the first slice to the very last, there's love in every loaf. Hovis, as good today as it's always been.
Okay, there we go. We're going to talk about that shortly. Let's get over to the PDF and see what that looks like. Boink. And here's the PDF, but that's the wrong one. Here we go. Love in every loaf. And here is the System One. I don't know what you call this, audit of the Hovis commercial, Love in Every Loaf. And as you can see right here, the commercial gets great recognition right off the bat. Oh, here, this is fluency. And that's because they start right out with this. Well, they start off with the loaf of bread on the counter. They end with this, but they start with it also. And so right away they know who it's about. I thought it was interesting. There was a lot of emotion in here because people in the UK actually know the brand. And there's a commercial back from 1973. Let's watch that. And apparently that rates just about as well today as it did back those days. Let's get over to that one. Bing, and here we go. This is the boy on the bike from 1973, remastered, of course. He's pushing the bike up the hill with his loaves of bread in it. And he's taking a rest.
Last stop on round to be old Ma Peggerty's place. 'Twas like taking bread to the top of the world. 'Twas a grand ride back, though. I knew Baker'd have kettle on and slices of hot Hovis ready. Get it inside you, boy, he'd say. You must have gone up that hill as fast as you came down.
Hovis, as good today as it's always been.
Okay, and that's the repurposed one, I guess. I thought that was a heck of a slogan, as good today as it's always been. Why? Well, it's funny because... you know, I thought it was interesting that there was this red up here is disgust. And why is there disgust for a bread commercial? Well, partly because it's this soft white bread that's probably not very good for you. And, you know, I was a little revolted. And to say it's as good today as it's always been, well, the soft white's probably about the same as the soft. I mean, it really doesn't say much about the quality, although I watched another Hovis commercial, and it talked about having more whole wheat grain in it than other kinds of bread. I thought that was funny. So it got a strong star rating, 4 out of 5. The spike rating was 148. The average for the bread industry was 130 or something, so it was above average. They really need to change these for data guys. It turns out that when you look at the background information for spike rating, something like 50% are above 1.4. that's not very exceptional to me if it's in the top half. And the scale goes down to there's 10% in the worst, and, you know, it just doesn't mean anything. So let's make this scale of 1 to 5 or go up here 1 to 100. 94 is not even an A. That's only a B in this rating, which, again, adjust this bugger. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway... they revived the classic assets. It did outperform most bread ads, so that was pretty good. It's a household name, but they're trying to reintroduce Hovis to consumers and remind them it's a brand you can always rely on. So there's a huge portion of positive sentiment. The more people feel, the more they buy. I'm not sure that's true either. You know, fear, disgust. I was listening to, well, we'll get to that in a second. I was listening to a Jordan Peterson interview with Ian McGregor or something about what your life left brain does. And also one, well, we'll get to this one. Yeah, My Fake Ads. Dr. Daniel Dennett, who's a famous atheist, he said that emotions are the only thing that drive us in any direction. That was it, Daniel Dennett. And he was lamenting the rise of fake people. Okay, before I get to that, though, Nebraska passed an opt-out privacy bill, and one of the things was what it's really designed to combat is targeted advertising. And I thought, well, we used to call direct mail targeted advertising, but this is targeted based on activity across sites over time, and it's mainly online ad targeting. Doesn't say anything, it seems, doesn't seem in the summary to say anything about direct mail. Small businesses are exempt, and you can have your data deleted, but you know, if it's related to, it's not related to first party data, which is what most mailers use in RFM, that kind of thing. And I would never recommend a mailer actually delete all the information, because if someone doesn't want to be mailed, if you want to opt out of my marketing, I want to be able to keep you from it, from rented lists that I use, and from inquirers and all these other things that you might get your way back in there and then sue me, not because I've done anything wrong, but because you keep doing things to get yourself on lists. And so I always recommend that you do not fully opt, you do not fully delete, but rather mark an address. And this is one thing you can do really well with mail. You can mark addresses and then not mail them. Try and do that with digital advertising. It's much more of a slippery slope. Okay, so then there's an article about My Fake Ads. And as I said, Dr. Daniel Dennett was lamenting fake people, fake identities. And I've also talked about fake websites that people can build AI. I got an email offering me the software. It was fairly expensive. I think it was like $1,000 a month or something. Fake software that could generate 1,000 ads in minutes, or 1,000 websites in minutes. And, or, you know, they're producing thousands of YouTube videos about news items. So, anyway, he said it's very dangerous. I'm not exactly sure why, but because, you know, soon fake identities will be reaping benefits of, you know, of social welfare programs and things where there aren't even people behind them. And it'll be harder to tell, harder and harder to tell. It's the Turing test tipped on its head, where you'll have to prove that you're a real person in order to get the benefits that you might qualify for. So this is about fake ads from Rory McEntee. And Rory, Rory called out, I got a bunch of them in here. Here's one for British, for EasyJet. And it shows somebody looking out the window at British Airways. This is just a piece of British Airways. It says, same view, half the price from EasyJet. But it's not, neither of them are fully shown because this was a fake ad. And they put them in outdoor locations so that they really look real. And here's one that Rory did. If you're reading this, you're a natural. Aerial classes available at Gymbox. Now, I don't know what Gymbox is, but there were never such buses. You know, I did one on, I talked about the Maybelline, where they had an eyelash brush brushing the buses as they went by and the underground. And it was fantastic. They'd put these big lashes on the buses. And that one was fake. It really, really was great. It was like a fake video. So Rory said he got really into this He got hooked on the creative treadmill of fake ad executions. I was getting more and more exposure. I was getting more exposure than ever. In fact, might have gotten more exposure than the real company ads. Here's a Guinness one that he had called out. First, he calls it out because he thought it was real, made by Anthony Smith in Australia. I think that was the guy that he called out. He said that he actually, he thought it was real, and he got called out about how you're not supposed to make fake ads. Well, the truth is that the world is getting more and more fake. And why do I bring that up? Because direct mail becomes more and more real, right? Because it's expensive. And you wouldn't go through the trouble to make a fake ad and then mail it to somebody. You know, here's one of my favorites. Here's Mint Mobile. Ryan Reynolds, although I got an email the other day saying Mint Mobile is now T-Mobile, which I'm not so excited about because I like getting Ryan Reynolds. And I'm going to get that. They sent me this. No ragrets. It's a fake tattoo. I'm going to put that on my arm one of these days because it's just so cool. Okay, and then there was an editor's note from, this is from who? The Drum, I guess. And they said, we're less likely to cover a campaign if we know that it isn't really running. But these lines are blurring. You know, and also, how do you know your digital's really running? It might be being seen on websites that nobody watches. Okay, so finally, time to dust off direct mail. Is it time to dust off direct mail? This is from print. I hope it's from print. Oh, it said right here. It's from Print Week. And I knew that there was a way to see that from Joe Francis. Okay. There's a multitude of present-day marketers who have pretty much zero experience in direct mail. You know, I did a talk for some MBA marketing graduates, about 40 of them, and they came up to me. We had an hour of Q&A after, and then we went out to a bar and did two more hours of Q&A. And one of the people that came up to me said, not only did we not have a course in direct mail, in all of our marketing undergrad and graduate work, we didn't even have one lecture advocating mail. This is sad. It's sick. But, you know, agencies can mark up digital way beyond what they can with mail. In fact, most of the time, the client is responsible for the postage and even the printing. So there's just not much markup to be had there. Such has been the fixation with digital marketing. It's not just a fixation. Anyway, earlier this year, Epsilon over in the UK apparently held the ultimate direct mail workshop. Unbelievable that I was not consulted. And part of the workshop involved an illuminating panel discussion featuring Lauren Mason. And she said, we started talking about, she handles Live Unlimited, Ro and Zoe fashion brands. And we started talking about direct mail 12 months ago. Being a digital-first brand, we wanted to find a way of having some sort of physical presence with the customer and credibility, because you might be doing ads that your brand would never endorse. People can come up with that in a matter of minutes, do something that will make your brand look stupid. Okay, not with mail. They're not going to spend a dollar per piece to get something out there like that. Okay, presence with a customer and having something which she can touch. So getting something into the home was really important for us. Okay, first thing, we were scared about the costs, she said initially. Really scared about the costs. Okay, and you know, you can tiptoe into that. But the least expensive cost per square foot or per square inch is probably catalogs. At least even smaller size catalogs can be very economical. Depends on how many people you have in your first party data. You know, if you have done a good job, and I remember Larry Huffman, and he had a collection of white-tailed deer. I have one of his deer up on my wall here. It's kind of funny that anyway that he traded me for help with his catalog, and his son said, "I don't know that this makes any sense, but he wants to start a catalog." And I told him, when you go to the deer shows, because people were paying him to come with his collection of antlers, I said, have a raffle for hats or something. When you got 30,000 names, come and talk to me, because we could do it economically. That's the same thing I would say to anybody. If you wanted the most economical is a catalog, and if you want to be economical and really have an idea what's working, then for heaven's sakes, generate some names and addresses. A lot of times people won't generate any addresses. They think name, first name and email is enough. Offer a prize. Say, we're not going to send it to you if you don't have a mailing address included, right? Anyway, not that hard. Okay, but from a retention point of view, they thought the cost was too expensive. I think when you hear anything about DM, everyone almost scares you with the cost of things, direct mail, that is. But from a retention point of view, it was great. It drove lifetime value and really high average order values. And retention rates really increased. Yeah, we find digitally acquired customers don't value your brand. Who knew? They're worth about 1/4 the lifetime value. And the average order is oftentimes 40, 50% lower. Okay, the results at occasion where brand Roe and Zoe were even more impressive. Roe and Zoe was just amazing. We acquired customers at a really low cost. It was actually cheaper to acquire customers than by using digital. We had higher lifetime value, higher average order, it drove retention. I guess what DM gives us is some security that the customers we're acquiring through that channel are going to stay with us that little bit longer, rather than spending a bit more on digital, not knowing if she's going to come back. Amen, amen. Isn't this great? And Mason said she planned to do more with print this year. Now, if you're saying, you know, I was talking to a company that had a catalog and went all digital and stopped mailing the catalog, and they said now when they introduce new products, it just doesn't pop anymore. And they were telling me that they just weren't sure they could afford to do mail. And I said, well, what are you spending in digital? And they said, $600,000 a month. Well, I mean, you could do 100,000 pieces of mail for $100,000 for 1/6 of that. And I said, all you do is take one of the weeks of digital and just stop for a week. Plus, it'll give you a holdout test to see if anything slows down, and use that money to fund direct mail. And it doesn't have to be $100,000 a month either. $1 million, that's a lot of money, right? But take 1/4 of your digital budget for a couple of months, and that will more than pay for the direct mail. People don't realize how much they're spending because, you know, your CFO just thinks that it's required that he pays the Google digital bill. So anyway, I think if you're not in direct mail right now, you should be, said Oldenham, who was also on the panel. Direct mail never went away, but in 2024, it has new opportunities to shine. Well, we got to squeeze it all in today. That's pretty amazing. 2 commercials, fake ads, and, oh, I wanted to go back and show you this fake Guinness ad. This one was for the coronation of Prince Charles or King Charles III now. And they made a glass of Guinness with peaks of the foam. I don't know if you can see this, but peaks of the foam. Go over to WDMA.org and you can get the show notes if you subscribe. It's in the member area. And people wondered why an Irish brand would care about the coronation of an English king. But anyway, it was fake. And that was from Tom Burtz from Australia. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.